Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are live in the station right now, as we always are. And we're excited that you have taken time to join us today. And in the studio with me live is Nan.
Hi, Pastor.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Nan Watson. And to my left is Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. Pastor Jim Ellsbury and Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're glad you've all joined us. And we're going to have a good time today. We've got important stuff to talk about. God is moving in people's lives, Pastor Jim.
Yeah, and apparently the devil doesn't like it too much.
You know what? He doesn't like it at all.
You know, we've had quite some battles here of late.
We have, but you know we're victorious. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you know, as life happens to people, and you know, in all of our lives, there's been a lot of things going on. A lot of, Nan, you're starting a new school year.
Yes.
And you're very busy with the high school and everything that you do there, and you got a very important function, and it's a high stress job you have, isn't it?
It is. You know, do what you need to do, and you're still supposed to keep smiling and take care of everybody all at the same time, and you know, not break underneath that. I would like to get a praise report. You know, I've been requesting prayer, you know, on Wednesday nights and everything regarding the pressure that I've been under.
Right.
And this last week, I've told my principal, I said, it's going to be, I'm going to be calm. I said, so when you see me calm, don't take it that I don't care.
Right.
I still care. I'm just not going to get hyped up into it.
Right.
And I think he and I feed off each other with that hypeness, you know.
Right,
you know,
sure.
And I've been calm. I recognize I'm being calm. Thank you, God.
Well, the peace.
That's an answer to prayer. The peace. A couple times I caught myself getting ready to get revved up in it, and I said, calm.
Exactly.
Be calm. And it's God. It's only God that has helped that, knowing how my mode of operation is, you know, working. And with
well, I've seen a difference in you. You have a very important function in that school, and it's easy to get caught up in the chaos. And
yes,
it's peace versus chaos. We taught on it Wednesday night, you mm-hmm. and I, Pastor Jim. The peace that passes all understanding that only God can bring in the midst of things that are happening all around us. So much has been happening all around us.
Oh, yes.
It?
Oh, yes. Well, and in the church and in our personal lives, in the world itself, there's
right.
so much. There's been so much turmoil, so many battles going on, and I just think, you know, the evil one is doing everything he can to stop the march of God's kingdom.
Absolutely.
And that's just not going to happen.
No.
You know, he's not going to stop it.
But isn't it interesting, Pastor Jim, that the devil is still, he's on the prowl, like we talked about in 1 Peter 5, and we'll talk about that probably in a few minutes. But he prowls around like a roaring lion. It's almost like he's clueless that, you know, he's already defeated. He knows he is, but he's acting mm-hmm. like he's not, you know?
Well, because if he can act that way, he can deceive people into thinking he's
Absolutely.
Not defeated.
Right.
You know, the devil has two great strategies. One is to make I think the most popular, of course, is to make people think he doesn't exist at all.
Oh, I think so, too. Oh, my gosh, yes.
And then, but then the other one is to make people think he is as powerful as God. And that's just a lie straight from the mouth
Woo!
Of the devil himself.
All right. Wait a minute. Where's my bell? It's gone.
It's gone.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Okay. Cedric's going to find my bell, because that one needed a bell, too, because he's not as powerful as God by any means.
No.
There we go. Thank you for the bell. He isn't. Greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world. And
1 John 4:4, for some of you that want to write that down.
Remember this. The evil one, Satan,
yes.
the accuser, is created. He
yes.
is a created being. He is, and in the grand scheme of things, as Christians go, we're above him
right.
in the grand scheme of things.
We are.
Because as people who've been regenerated by the blood of Jesus, we're next to the Godhead.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the Godhead, us, then the angels.
Right.
And Satan is only a fallen angel, so he's
is.
Even further down.
Right. But he does try his best to deceive all of us that he has all this power. He has the power of suggestion. He has the power to, you know, to really influence people's minds and therefore their behavior. But ultimately, we have a choice whether or not we're going to follow that line of suggestive thinking that the devil throws at us, or whether we're going to stand up and go, no, I'm going to react and act based on the Word of God.
Right, right. Were you going to say something, Dan?
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I was just going to say, yeah, Satan's biggest power right now is in his voice.
Yes.
Because he lies, he deceives.
Amen.
And that's about all he can really do. He cannot create.
Right.
He can only destroy.
Absolutely. He gets us off target. He gets us off. Today, we're in this series. Off balance. We're in this series called The Focus of Faith. And it's really, this was a good intro that we didn't plan, you know, just that information that we just now talked about, because we don't plan. We just let the Holy Spirit lead. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, so if you have your Bible, you can find that. That's where we started in last week, and we're going on with that. The focus of faith, and how important that focus is in order to grow our faith, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. If you just joined us, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Sunday mornings in the Tampa Bay area, where we have service at 10 o'clock, Wednesday nights at 7 till about 8:30. And we have a great time in services. Great time. So anyway, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to hear our first song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to get down on the inside of us, and it is able to do a work in us that needs to be done. So Lord, we claim that today for this show, whether it's heard live or whether it's heard later on our website, that people will hear truth and that they will decide to follow truth, and that they will reject the lies of the devil, and that they will become stronger in their faith and learn how to focus on that faith. Lord, that is our goal today, and we thank you and praise you in advance for a wonderful time with you in the Word and with great music. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen to this first song by Toby Mac, Me Without You.
Raindrops rolling off my brim. Street lights got the pavement glistening. Touchdown, I fall into your arms, right where I belong, your everlasting arms. And where would I be without you? I'd be packing my bag when I need to stay. I'd be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. It's true, that's me without you. Ooh, 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 ooh. That's me without you. Ooh, 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 ooh. That's me without you. Ooh, 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 ooh. Don't know where I'd be without you. Without you. Flashback. You and there's a very different me. Touchdown, you had me at believe. You had me at believe you did. And where would I be without you? Without you, I'd be packing my bag when I need to stay. I'd be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. That's me without you. Ooh, 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 ooh. That's me without you. Ooh, 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 ooh. That's me without you. Ooh, 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 ooh. Don't know where I'd be without you. Yeah.
Without You. And you, that's a brand new song, isn't it, by Toby Mac? That is a great song, Me isn't Without You. What an interesting beat. Pastor Jim's over here just boogieing. I guess boogie is not the right word for it, whatever he's doing over here. He's just getting into that.
I love that song.
That's a great song. Me Without You. Where would we be without Jesus, you know? And this is what this ministry and this radio show is all about, is about learning to live life as completely and wholly as we can. And we do that with the power of the Lord Jesus.
I wrote down where I said, where would I be without you? And I was thinking, a lot of people, they rely upon their finances that they have, or the relationships, the family they have, or, you know, their careers. And at the end of the day, I mean, that stuff, you know, where, you know, you put too much emphasis on those things, those things are good. But if you put too much emphasis on those and don't be where you're supposed to be plugged in with God, where are you?
Exactly.
So what if you're surrounded with a beautiful yacht in the wherever, and beautiful home without God?
Right.
Yeah. What do you have? Really nothing.
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 And it takes a while for some people to come to that point in their lives. Right. And, you know, I'm so grateful I grew up in, you know, the ministry, grew up with a pastor, father, and missionary and all that, because that was our life. But I know so many people that came to the Lord Jesus later on in life and felt like, wow, wish I had those years back that I could do more for God, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You feel that way?
Yeah. I wish I'd known when I was 12 what I found out when I was 18.
Okay. So you didn't waste that many years in there, though, compared to some people who
maybe... Wasted some years since then.
Right.
But,
okay.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I got saved at age 18, but I kind of got saved, you know, at church camp when I was like 11, 12. And if I'd known then, there would have been 6 more years to enjoy this.
Right, right. And it is wonderful to walk with the Lord, is it not? 2 Timothy, that's the book we're in right now. We're going to start with verse 11 of chapter 1. And Nan's got her King James there. She always does. We're excited about that. 2 Timothy 1:11. Nan, can you read 11 and 12? In your King James.
In my King James. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Ooh, amen. Classic words from the Apostle Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy, when he's saying, I know what my job is. I'm to be the pastor. I'm to be the preacher, actually, he calls himself there, and an emissary, a teacher, apostle. And I've got a job to do, and I'm not ashamed of that job. And praise God for that. That's how I feel. I'm sure you feel that way, Pastor Jim.
Yeah, I like what he says here. He says, I'm suffering because I talk about the good news.
Right.
But I'm not ashamed.
Right.
Because I know the one that I believed in, and I've put my life into his hands.
Amen.
Against the day of his return. I put everything I have into his hands so I don't have to be ashamed.
Absolutely.
And that's such a key right there is, you know, we have to be convinced that he's able to hold it.
Right.
Until that day. Whatever we entrust to him.
Right.
He's going to take care of.
Exactly.
And Paul had that confidence. And that, we need that confidence now. I mean, when we see everything, you know, God said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken.
And right.
Praise God, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. But we have to have that confidence here that Paul talks about. We know whom we've believed in.
Yes.
And we're confident that he, you know, what we've entrusted to him, he's going to hold for us.
Right. So our past, the mistakes we've made, mm-hmm. they're buried under the deepest sea.
And our future, our present. And our future, our present future, are in God's hands.
Amen.
We've entrusted that to him. So, you know, let the tides rage, let the winds blow. My life's hidden in Christ with God.
Amen. And I love that Paul says here in the Message Bible, I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one I've trusted can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how difficult our lives may seem at the moment, And some of you out there in our listening audience, you may be going through some terrible trials. You may be going through discouragement. You may be going through physical problems, financial problems, whatever. When we give those things to God and say, hey, here it is. I can't fix it. You know, it's in your hands. I give it to you. And we entrust that to Him, and we trust Him to bring us through that as best we can. Comment on that, Nan.
I just am thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that we can trust and who understands us.
Yes.
I mean, He made us. He knows how frail we can be at times, you know, when we're not, you know, necessarily, you know, when we're facing battles. You know, we sometimes feel weak, but He is with us and He is our strength and He will see us through all those things. I mean,
Amen.
He can be trusted.
Right.
I mean, I can trust Him more than I can trust anybody here. I mean, I trust you greatly, but the trust that we have in God is a greater trust than we have in any man.
Amen. And when we just commit these things to God, and whatever it is we're going on in our lives, and listening audience, I know there's some of you out there right now that are going through terrible circumstances. And the series that we're in right now is the focus of faith, because it's one thing to have the fire insurance. We talk about that a lot, don't we, Pastor Jim? That people that get saved and say, okay, Jesus, come into my heart, live in me. And they do that because they're so afraid of going to hell, you know?
Right.
But it's a whole nother thing when people say, I don't just want the fire insurance. I want to be in the process of letting God do a work in me that changes me into His image. That's what it's all about.
Right. That's the ultimate purpose.
Yes.
Is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Mm-hmm.
Fire insurance is great, and praise God for it.
Right.
But it's almost sad if that's the be-all and end-all of your salvation.
Right.
Is just to keep yourself out of hell, because there's so much more.
Yes.
So you miss out on a lot of benefits.
Right.
That you can have when you have more than fire insurance.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's there.
Yes.
He's there to help you on your job.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we're having problems. Pray. I mean, like me, I'm praying at work,
right,
and he's bringing calm. If I just had fire insurance, I wouldn't have calm, because I wouldn't be praying, because I wouldn't look no further than just going, well, I've accepted Him as Jesus Christ my Savior. I'm going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all I need to worry about. You know, so many more benefits that are available to us. The promises of God. I mean, they're all throughout the Word.
They're everywhere.
Promises. And they're for all of us.
Right.
For anybody who wants to take those promises, those gifts.
Well, absolutely. So we got to get serious about our commitment to the Lord. We got to, and that's what Beacon of Hope's all about. We are all about the teaching the Word and growing people up in the faith. So today, the focus of faith, part two, look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And let's look at verse 1. So my son, it says in the New American Standard, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. John 1:14 says, Jesus was full. He came to this earth and He took on a bodily form. And it says He was full of grace and truth. The truth is the Word of God we're looking at right here. Grace is God's unmerited favor. When we don't deserve His favor, we have it. So really what this is we've got to understand that we are full of favor, you know? And I think so often we get caught up in all of the things we're not, you know, the negative things. And what God is reminding us here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, throw yourself into this. Be strong. Be courageous. Get with the program. Pastor Jim, I know as a pastor, for me, having pastored all these years and you too, it's a frustration sometimes to see people who just want that, maybe that, I don't know what to say. Again, it's just more like the fire insurance, just that experience, but not the life of God, you know?
Right. Right. It is frustrating. I mean, which is probably why I'm more of a teacher than a pastor.
Okay.
Because I tend to have, I'd love to knock heads together.
Right.
So, you know, not a very pastoral thing to do.
Okay.
But it is frustrating because some people, you know, it's like, oh, I'm saved. I'm so happy I'm saved. And that's about as far as it goes.
And they don't think that they need to grow. You know, this is my frustration.
There's no vision of
yes.
There's no hunger to know God.
Right.
It's, I'm saved, as we used to call it, saved, sanctified, and solidified.
Ooh.
You know, I'm saved, and that's as far as I'm going.
Right.
You know, I got my fire insurance. I know God. I just don't want to know him any better.
But see, the whole crux of the teaching of the Word of God, let's say just through Paul's ministry, because he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he all the time is talking about growing up in God, changing, becoming like Jesus. When people bump into us, they bump into Jesus. The whole concept of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And here he says to Timothy, be strong. You know, be full of grace, be full of favor. Recognize that you can be a wimpy Christian or you can be a strong, hefty Christian, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to be this little wimp that runs around all the time upset about the latest thing that's happened. Instead, you can learn to fight those things and be strong in the Lord.
Right. Like the commercial says, wimpy, wimpy, wimpy versus
yes.
hefty, hefty, hefty.
Exactly.
Which kind of bag would you prefer to put in your garbage can tonight?
Well, just
hefty,
what,
hefty, right?
Exactly, because the wimpy ones, what? They always break and leak,
they
right?
break and leak.
but God wants us to be strong.
Well, I think it's interesting, too. It says, be strong in the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. Not strong in a number of other things that would be good. Not strong in the law, strong in the word, strong in this, strong, you know, strong in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's strong in the grace.
Grace
because, you know, I was thinking about this, and grace contains all of those things.
Yes.
You know, grace covers all those things. It contains all those things because grace is, you know, God's unmerited favor. It's his love for us, his
yes.
mercy. It's
yes.
it's all of that rolled up into this. And the only way to maintain a Christian walk is to be strong in grace.
Yeah.
Because if you're strong, you know, God's, because, and I think because I struggle with this for so many years, if you're trying to be strong in the law,
right,
rather than being strong in grace, all you're going to meet is futility and defeat. And even though, and you know, and I think, I know I struggled with that for so long, is, yeah, I believed in grace. I really did. But there was still that part of me that wanted to do it on my own,
mm-hmm.
felt that I had to do it on my own.
The legalistic side of
yeah.
things,
oh,
you know.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I could Pharisee with the best of them.
And hold people to that standard, you know?
That we are, and you know, that and just like Jesus said to the Pharisees, holding people to a standard we ourselves cannot keep.
Exactly.
And that's why I be strong in grace. Once you
yes,
just let go.
Yes, yes, yes.
And realize it's grace, then life becomes so much freer.
Right. Well, we cut people slack, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of all the time trying to have them toe the line.
And we cut ourselves slack. We understand
yes,
the
yes,
mercy of God
yes.
at that point.
Right. So often we reach out to people in an attitude of, Christians do this, an attitude of well, here's why this has happened, because you this, you know, whatever. And it's more of a criticalness instead of mm-hmm. of praying God's favor and blessing. What'd you start to say, Nan?
No, I was just, with what you were just saying, and piggyback off that, you know, I was raised in a denomination that kind of did that some, you know.
I think
and,
a lot of us have been raised
know, a lot
in
of
that.
You know, and it just can make for a mess of a situation.
Well, because
when you're stuck in that under that
yeah.
kind of teaching, you know, you're not really being able to go where God wants you to go and be what he wants you to be when you're stuck under that kind of condemnation.
Absolutely. We really get, it's stuck, it's quicksand, because that condemnation drags you down and you realize you can't measure up and you cannot meet those standards.
Grace cuts us the slack.
Yes.
As we move toward God's perfection. You know, God unfortunately calls us to be perfect. Ain't going to happen probably in this life. But grace
yes.
cuts us the slack
mm-hmm.
to work toward perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't make it, it's okay.
Right.
You know, if we mess up, it's okay. You just repent and you get up, you get beyond it. You know,
right.
Satan would like for us to say, oh, you did it this time.
Right.
God's not going to forgive you now.
Right.
You know, you've trod too far off the path.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, grace is there going,
No. There's never too far. I mean, you can always come back to God and repent. I love the verse in Ezekiel that says, the eyes of the Lord are roaming the earth looking for those whose hearts are completely his. I may not have the right book there, but
Chronicles.
Okay.
Somewhere
whose hearts are, yeah, completely his. And what God is looking for is people who say, God, I may not be perfect. I may not have it all together. I may not have all the answers, but I love you, Lord. And I want to become what you want me to become, even though I don't understand even how to arrive at that place, you know?
You know, it's something I used to say, and many people say it's not profound or anything, but whom he calls, he equips.
Exactly.
You know, and I mean, there's been times I can look back in my life that I felt like he called me maybe to do a particular thing in the church. I never done it before.
Right.
I didn't really know. But in moving forward,
sure,
spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer and action, taking an action on my part of moving forward. Okay, God, this is what you called me to do. Let's do it.
Right.
He's always come through because I relied and looked on him.
Well, it's just like starting a new job. You know, we start a new job, we're kind of concerned, okay, what's going to happen? Go the first day, you're antsy, you don't know if you're going to measure up, are you going to be able to learn, are you going to be able to do? You know what I'm saying? And really, so often I think we have that attitude with our spiritual lives that we're just on edge all the time about measuring up, mm-hmm. about being a witness for God. You know, we can get so caught up in what we think is pleasing to God that we forget to just be human. And
grace allows us to walk that fine line.
Yes,
and it is a fine line.
It is.
Because some people, and Paul addresses this, Peter addresses this, some people use grace as an excuse to sin. Well, it doesn't matter because I'm under grace and I can do what I want.
Mm.
And yet, you know, Paul talks about grace in Titus as like it's a living thing.
Yes.
You know, that it works in us and helps us to say no to those things that are not good for us.
Right.
So grace helps us to walk that fine line between doing what we know God wants us to do, but doing it on our own, which is legalism, to being so free in God that we tend to do things we ought not do that we know we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Grace helps us to navigate, to walk that line between the two. You know, we think, oh, that's kind of tight. Well, you know, Jesus said it's narrow, it's tribulated. It's literally what it means. It's a tribulated walk. It's a pressed together walk.
Well, there's times we're going to not measure up. We're going to react wrong during the day. We're going to side with the wrong side. You know, instead of God's side, we're doing our own thing, you know, or we're lining up with the negativity of the devil and he's taking us down some path. But the thing about grace is it's his forgiveness. It's his favor. And we can just simply call on the Lord and turn around, you know, and change. That's repentance. Mm-hmm. Turning around and going the other way and saying, whoa, I messed up. I got into the wrong crowd. Or I allowed this mindset to take over on the inside of me, and now I'm going down this negative road.
Right, exactly. And like I read this morning out of Malachi,
that
God
was good.
Says, return to me and I'll return to you.
Yes.
You know, God says, all you got to do is turn around. And I'll come running, and I call into mind the prodigal son.
Yes.
That's God the Father. The Father in that story is God the Father, and it says he saw the son coming afar off.
Right.
And it's not like he just happened to, oh my gosh, there's my son. He'd been watching. The context of that story means that father was out there every day looking for his son to come back. And that's how the Father is with us. If we stray, He's looking. He's like watching for us to come back.
He just wants to give us some more favor.
When we get our fill of those nasty old pods for the pigs.
Right, exactly.
Then we're going to come
back.
And God knows that. And the Father's looking for us to come back. He's watching daily for us to come back.
And I think a big part of this whole thing with our Christian walk is that we have to see that we are headed somewhere. You know, people tend to need a goal, I think. You know, when my kids were little, they each had a chart on their bedroom door, you know, of chores. And my son's done that now with his kids. And it's cute to see, you know, the check marks and whatever. And they had a goal. Okay, if I do these chores by the end of the week, I'm going to end up with the allowance, or I'm going to get to go to that party, or I'm going to do those things, because there's a part of I'm doing. And I'm not talking about works versus grace. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we invest in our personal spiritual growth. You know, you're not going to build $5 million in the bank if you don't start with something. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And if your goal is to be more like Jesus,
right,
then you got to have a plan. I mean, I work in social service, so we've got the big goals with the outcomes.
So
and
what, you understand
what
this,
what outcome do we want?
Right.
What's our goal? But then how are we going to get there? What are the things we need to do to get there?
Right. And because there are things we need to do. So let's look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul starts talking about the analogy of three different things. The athlete, the
soldier.
The soldier. The soldier, the athlete, and the farmer.
The farmer.
Okay. And I find this is really good because a soldier, it says, once you're enlisted here, you don't just think, okay, I think I'll go get a sales job.
Right.
You know, I think I'll go do this instead of this. I won't concentrate on this. I'm going to just do this over here.
Well, and I love what Paul, I love those three examples because they're three.
Does everybody see where we are? 2 Timothy 2, the first few verses of chapter 2. Go ahead.
Two similar but dissimilar.
Yes, they are.
They're three similar but dissimilar, and yet they make a good whole.
Right.
That, you know, the soldier, he's there only to work for his commander.
Right.
You know, he understands he's under authority, but he has authority, kind of like the centurion. You know, you understand who you're working for.
Mm-hmm.
The athlete, you know, you have that goal. You want to get 22 medals.
Right.
Okay?
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, so you have a goal.
Right.
This is what I want to do. I want to get a gold.
There had to be something motivating him to get up every day and swim and to get in the pool, you know, when he could have just said, nah, I think I'll just cut some commercials. He had a goal there, and he saw that goal. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and then the farmer who's blessed by the crops that he brings in, that is so cool. Because, you know, in us, I think in regards to us, it's saying, okay, I'm blessed by the harvest of souls, of word, of whatever that I'm planting. I'm blessed by the harvest I get back.
So we give it all we got because we want to get better at. I mean, somebody that is like an athlete that is working towards success in that particular field, gymnastics, whatever. My granddaughter, Rylan, started gymnastics training when she was 4. And she is using that now and in so many ways. And as a top cheerleader in the state of Indiana and nationally, and really going forward with that in all kinds of ways, and it's really cool. But Rylan has put her all into that ever since she was 4. She's gone to practice as many times a week as she's supposed to go. She works on things at home. She does everything she can to become the best at what she's doing. I really think spiritually, so often, Nan, a lot of us get caught up in just the busyness of life and forget that we're in the spiritual race for our lives, too.
You know, with Ryan, it takes a lot of dedication.
It does.
With us, it takes a lot of dedication to stay focused and to spend the time and do the things we know we need to do. I mean, just being dedicated is a big that's it. It's a big deal.
You mean I can't grow if I just don't do anything?
No, you'll just remain stagnant.
Pastor Jim, you and I both know from pastoring that when we're scheduled to preach on a Sunday, it requires more of us in the days prior to that preaching. We could, and I'm sure there's tons of pastors around the world who just do nothing, walk in and just let it fly, you know, but don't really seek the mind of the Lord on what they're to teach and really get prepared themselves.
Right.
It requires an emptying out of ourselves, letting go of resentments and things that are going to impede the word come Sunday morning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think if we do that, if we work at it and spend time in prayer, then yeah, because I've had times, and I know you have regularly, when you get up and all of a sudden what's coming out of your mouth is not what you thought about the entire week before.
God's got a different plan.
God has a different agenda that morning. you know.
But isn't that cool, though, when he does that? Because, and he can only do that because we've planted inside here, you know, and we've allowed him and we've said, okay, Holy Spirit, you take your liberty here with me. This is what I think I'm preaching, but if it comes out a different way, happens to me all the time, you understand that, you know that. When it happens, we go with that because God's got his work he wants to get done that day.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it may not be, you know, we're human. We sometimes misread mm-hmm. what God says.
Right.
You know, I thought God wanted me to do this. Well, you know, fortunately, we serve a God who's big enough
right.
to correct those mistakes. If we don't hear him quite right,
right.
we go off and do something, you know, not in his perfect will. He's big enough to correct it.
Absolutely.
And that's a wonderful, that's wonderful to know.
Absolutely. But all this is, what we're talking about here, Nan, is dedication. You know, you have a job, we just talked about it earlier, it's a high power job. You have to get up every day and be at the school by like 7 in the morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that means you got to get up in advance of 7, not 2 till.
Right.
And you've got to get ready, and you've got to prepare yourself for that day, and you've got to have an attitude that says, okay, today I'm going to do everything I can to be good at my job and to listen to the Lord through my day and be that light here where I'm at, right?
Oh, most definitely. Yes, it's preparation of myself before I even go in the day, and the mindset also.
Right.
As is what we're talking here spiritually. The mindset of I'm going to have a good day, things are going to go fine, God, you're going to be with me. I think these things before I go in.
Sure.
And because as soon as I hit the doors, I'm bombarded with people, you know, right. And it's like if I don't kind of prepare myself, you know, if you go dragging in and you haven't done those preparatory type things, it makes it a little bit harder to fulfill the duties that you have there.
Exactly.
That I have there.
So what we're talking about is focus here, not just in our daily jobs, but in our spiritual lives, that we realize, we come to a point in our lives, we realize, wait a minute, I want to grow my faith. This series is the focus of faith because I want to grow my faith. And in order to grow my faith and do the things that I believe God is calling me to do, I got to be focused mm-hmm. on the job at hand.
You know, I mean, I could think of times in my own life of, you know, not being focused on certain things, the spiritual things, the spiritual
right.
nature of God. And, you know, and it's just kind of uncomfortable to try to go through and do what you're supposed to do when you're not being focused.
Right.
You know, and and that's where it's so cool that the grace comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking earlier in the show how God has inspired many poems about the battle of your mind.
Right.
Cluttered mind.
Right.
Different types of, you know, titles that come to me even now. Of
Nan's a poet and she knows it.
you know, ones that's going to eventually be in the book that I'm going to publish. But,
right.
you know, about how Satan will battle us in our mind.
Yes.
We need to be focused. We need to be dedicated.
Yes.
But then, if we mess up, thank God, that's where the grace comes in.
Ah.
You know, I mean, it's just so cool, you know,
yes.
and, you know, and continue to move forward in dedication.
But I really believe that what Paul is trying to say to Timothy is think about the athlete, think about the farmer, think about the soldier. They've got priorities, and their priorities are to become the best at what they do, right? And I think so often Christians don't have that as a priority, Pastor Jim. You may disagree with me, but I think a lot of times Christians are just kind of, I'm good in my Christian life, and blow hot and cold, sometimes lukewarm. What does the book of Revelation say? It'll spew you out of my mouth.
Vomit
you, know?
You out of my mouth.
Really, the lukewarm ones, because God wants us hot or cold, not
right.
just, you know,
well, and,
lukewarm.
And again, the soldier wants to please the one who enlisted him.
Yes, that's what
okay?
it says right here.
And believers out there, whether you like it or not, you've been enlisted into an army.
Amen.
So, you know, we need to be pleasing the one who enlisted us, which
yes.
was Jesus.
Right.
The athlete, it says, has to play by the rules or he's not going to win the crown. And there
That's
are certain rules.
Like
that,
no doping, you know? I mean,
right.
think about that with the Olympics and, you know, there are rules to
right.
that.
There are certain rules that you have to follow in order to win the game. And some of those rules are Bible study.
Right.
I mean, a Christian walk is Bible study, prayer, fellowship.
Yes. You need
you
all
know,
of them.
You need all those things. You know, praise, worship.
Yes.
Those are some of the rules, as it were, of Christian life.
Right.
And then, you know, again, the farmer. Says works hard and ought to be the first person to get some of the food of the harvest grown. You know, when we plant seeds, whatever we harvest,
right,
we're going to end up getting the first of that.
Right.
You know. So, A, obviously we need to be planting good seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But second, we need to expect the harvest.
Right.
And, you know, James wrote, be patient for the early and the latter rains. Be patient. And just watch God give the growth and expect the harvest.
And desire to grow in God. But as this process is happening, realize that you're learning so much and growing, and it's just amazing what God does mm-hmm. in us. We're going to talk about that in a minute. This song by Jeremy Camp is called Overcome, and that's what we have to do on a daily basis in order to become all that God has ordained for us to become. Amen. Jesus overcame. We've got to learn to overcome in life's circumstances, Nan. Because there's so much that comes at us all the time, don't you think?
Yes.
There is That's a good answer.
That's a good answer. There's a lot that comes at us. And they're getting that dedication. That's where the dedication comes
right.
in. You know, it doesn't matter what you're facing. I mean, people say that all the time. And some people will say, you don't know what I'm facing. And I don't.
Right.
But the encouragement just to remember that he has overcome.
He's already done
it. He's already done it. Just hang tight to him.
We got
to
keep that picture firmly in our minds, is what it says in the Message Bible of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Fix this picture firmly in your mind. Jesus descended from the line of David, raised from the dead. Now, why is that picture so important, Pastor Jim? Those twofold things, descended from the line of David and raised from the dead.
Oh, how much time we got.
Woo, I know it's good, isn't it, Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, descended from the line of David. Truly the king of Israel and human, fully human, like one of us mentioned, you know, before. Jesus has gone through everything.
Yes.
We've gone through. And, you know, it doesn't betrayal, rejection, hurt.
Right, all of it.
Temptation,
yeah.
The sin, grief, all those things he went through.
Yes, yes.
He went through all of those for us.
Amen.
And that's, you know, that's a descendant of the line of David, his humanity. Paul's saying, okay, he's fully human.
Right.
Totally human. And not only that, he's the descendant of King David, the rightful heir to the throne.
Right.
And yet, risen from the dead. You know, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, shown to be the Son of God in power by the resurrection.
Amen.
This is the seal of his Godhood.
Yes.
You know, Jesus is fully God and proved it by the resurrection.
Amen.
You know, not that he became God at the resurrection. He always was God.
Right.
The resurrection showed it.
Right.
The resurrection proved it. And it set a seal on that. And that's why it's, you know, he says, remember, Paul says, remember Jesus Christ.
Right.
Risen from the dead, descendant of David. Remember, he's all these things. Keep that in mind.
When we remember that he's the Son of God and risen from the dead, we realize we're serving a Lord that can and will help us through no matter what it is we're going through. That there's absolutely nothing that's too big for the God of the universe that raised Jesus from the dead.
Exactly.
You know? It increases our faith. It's that focus of faith here. Down in about, what verse is it? Maybe it's about 18, 17. Paul's talking about those two guys that were troublemakers in the church. Hymenaeus.
Hymenaeus and Philetus.
All right, you say it, Pastor Jim, the Hebrew scholar. Say them again.
Hymenaeus and Philetus.
All right, those guys. And what they were doing, it says, they were throwing believers off stride and missing the truth by a mile by saying that the resurrection was over and done with. Why was that so critical, Pastor Jim? Tell us that, because I think it's huge. What they were doing was huge, an awful huge thing that they were doing.
Well, yeah, because the resurrection here that they're talking about is the resurrection of the church,
Jesus.
The rapture.
Okay. Yes, right.
And
they were saying it was already over.
They're saying the rapture already occurred, so obviously y'all missed it somewhere.
Yeah, of course, they would have missed it too, right?
Right.
Because yeah, they were telling this.
We don't know how that worked into this, but
right,
absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
They would have missed it too, but they were saying that the resurrection, speaking of the general the resurrection of the church, of the believers, had already taken place, and y'all missed it for some reason.
Right.
Maybe they were deluded and thought they already had their resurrection bodies. I don't know. But they were telling, and imagine how upsetting that would be if somebody came into church and said,
right,
I'm sorry, the resurrection took place and y'all missed it.
Y'all missed it. So therefore, you can just live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, because there is no hope, there is no heaven,
there is nothing. Right.
There's no more hope. It's all gone. And when you're done in this life, it's over. And we know that is not true, because the resurrection has not happened yet for the believers.
Right.
But this was a lie going on. And again, the devil is such a liar and father of lies. Go ahead. John 8:44. Go ahead.
Maybe it was close to, there used to be a teaching floating around, the manifest Sons of God teaching.
Right.
Maybe
yeah,
this is kind of like that. Okay, that's already happened. We all got our resurrection bodies. Where were you when that happened?
Right, exactly.
You know,
and
so
that's what we're walking around in, you know, which is ridiculous.
Right, so.
So, really, the whole goal of the devil all the time, though, is to destroy the focus of our faith.
Exactly.
Because if he can get us off target, Nan, if he can get our focus over here someplace else and keep us from growing, from concentrating. You just got a smartphone yesterday, Nan. I know this because I was at lunch with you.
Yes.
And I know that at lunch you could not answer a call because you weren't sure how to answer your phone.
That's true.
Okay. And so it became readily.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. It became very apparent, Pastor Jim, that Nan needed a little 1-2-3 tutorial on how to answer her phone and retrieve email, et cetera, and text, because you do use your phone a lot. And,
yes, I do.
But because of that, so you immediately began to realize at lunch, oops, I cannot talk to my buddies if I don't know how to answer my own phone.
That's true.
Right?
That's right.
So she suddenly, Pastor Jim, became very aware that her focus needed to, instead of showing everybody, look at my cute phone, see my phone, look how cute it is, everybody look, see my phone, it was suddenly, I think I better learn how to answer it and how to text on it and receive messages, correct?
Correct.
You saw the need to focus.
I definitely saw the need to focus.
On the operation of your smartphone.
Yes.
Okay, because there's going to be something that you're going to get from that focus, right?
Yeah, I'll be able to talk to my buddies.
There you go.
Be able to get texts from Connie.
And those are always fun.
They're always fun.
And always rewarding and always uplifting.
Very uplifting.
Absolutely. And so, therefore, since you knew all that was coming, we say tongue in cheek, since, there's still tongue in my cheek. As we were saying all this, the point is simply, when we have some place where we need to go in life with a certain concept, with a going to heaven, we got to learn what's that path.
Right.
And that path is through Jesus. But go ahead.
Right. And some people, some people try and go too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Try and jump
to heaven.
Yeah. Well, or I mean, in their walk, just their growth walk.
Sure. Sure.
Look for shortcuts. Don't
right.
think about what's going to happen if I take this shortcut.
Right.
I'm thinking of, you know, some clients I have want housing.
Right.
But they need to do some things before they actually rent that apartment.
Right.
Well, no, I
like
want to rent
a job.
It. Yeah, I want to rent it now.
You're right.
No.
Right.
You know, let's look at this kind of step
priorities.
By step.
Yes.
Setting priorities. Keeping your focus. Yeah, keep your focus on the ultimate goal.
Right.
But don't just jump to that without planning.
It's the old thing, you've heard it, and I know I have through the years. Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And that's all, you know, they're clear out over here, which is you got to have that goal, but you also have to know that there's a process to get to that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And what these two guys in 2 Timothy 2 did to discourage the church is tell them there really wasn't any goal out there anymore.
Right.
You know, that's over. So, you know, you're just kind of biding time and treading water for nothing, right?
Well, yeah, and I think kind of like what I was talking about is then there are those people that set dates, and then what do you do after the date comes and goes?
Well, yeah.
For the resurrection, you know.
Exactly.
Again, and it's taking the focus off of our continued growth.
Right.
You know, Jesus never said set dates, because he said, I don't even know when I'm coming back.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So we can't be misled by that or any other wind of doctrine that blows through.
Right.
We have to keep our focus on Jesus, because if we don't, then we're going to be spinning around like a little tornado. Like,
exactly.
You know.
So it's not about planning the decor in your heavenly mansion.
Right. Right.
It's about living this life right now to the best of our ability and try to be that light set on a hill. Mm-hmm. Try to be the salt, the light.
Well, you know, you're talking about focus and my phone. I got this kind of parallel here.
Oh, let's
parallel.
Go. Here we go. Spiritual,
you know,
parallel.
In walking, you know, with the Lord, and we need to stay focused. And the Word of God teaches us how to do what we need to do.
Right.
You know, if there's you have a question, there's an answer in the Word. And at lunch, you know, I made kind of the general announcement to all dozen of us that were there, and I said, I need someone to teach me how to use my phone. I will buy you dinner, whoever you are, if you will teach me how to use my phone. And Ashley, who was in the group, has won a previous generation of my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'll teach you. And I said, well, I'll get you dinner. And she says, you don't have to do that. I'll teach you. And it's just a kind of a parallel of she's willing to teach me how to use a phone that I feel totally illiterate in right now. Finally figured out how to get my calls when you were trying to call me and I hung up on you, and you know. But she's going to be there to teach me. So is the Word of God
right.
in our lives.
Yes.
Is there to teach us.
Yes.
So do we have spiritual leaders
right.
in the church
right.
who teach us, who mm-hmm. teach us the Word. You know?
Amen.
And it's just, I thought
I think
that.
A lot, that's a good parallel. And I think a lot of people don't think they need their spiritual leaders. I think they can just wing it and do whatever. But there's years of valuable experience that happens in anointed leadership. And so often insights can be passed down in a sermon, in a teaching that will help somebody avoid a pitfall, perhaps, or encourage them that they can come out of this situation, whatever it is they're in. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 2, that we learn to comfort others mm-hmm. with the comfort that mm-hmm. we've been comforted with. When we've gone through difficult times, we know how to pray. We know how to reach out and comfort people.
Well, you know, not only your own, obviously, your personal experiences with, like, you having shepherded, how shepherd, whatever, so many people, you know, and seeing in their lives and being mm-hmm. involved with their lives and
right.
being involved with ministering to them. You have gained such, and you and Pastor Jim, both of you have gained such insightful knowledge that you didn't necessarily go through something, but you went through it in a sense with them. So mm-hmm. you kind of know a little mm-hmm. bit. And that can be just ministered back out to, you know, well, you've been through a divorce. I have too. If I was just starting to go through that divorce, I would look to you for guidance mm-hmm. and try to how help. To handle
exactly.
and help me deal with that situation.
Right.
And, you know, but you remember that, and
oh,
you
yeah.
can minister to people maybe who are going through
how,
that type of thing now.
How painful it is.
Yeah.
How hurtful.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, Peter in 1 Peter 5 talks about kind of the three parts of leadership, the three different aspects of it. One
yeah.
is an elder.
Right.
You know, somebody a little older with a little more wisdom, a little more experience.
Right.
A shepherd, like Nan said, someone who pastors the
right.
flock and feeds the flock.
Right.
And then the overseer. Someone who has oversight, who it's like you're looking over to watch out for the enemies.
Right.
You know, an overseer keeps watch for the enemies.
Amen.
And that's all involved in what a leader does. And that's why, yeah, I think some people think, well, I don't need to be in church, or I don't need to go someplace where I'm going to hear the word, or I can worship God anywhere I want. Yeah, go for it.
You can.
You can, except...
But you need that other, those benefits that come.
Because Paul, all the way through, talks about the body of Christ.
Right.
Peter talks about us being a spiritual temple.
Yes.
You can't be part of a spiritual temple if your brick's out in the field somewhere.
Hell,
no offense.
Ooh,
I'm just
ooh,
saying.
That's good.
That's good. Oh, we're going to talk more about this after the station ID.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We have been on this radio station, 1340 AM, we are in our sixth year, Cedric. It's really cool to have been here that long and enjoyed this station and Dave and Lola and all the great people around here. It's just wonderful.
And it seems like it's probably coming up on about a year that I've been sitting in on the show now, I think.
You've been our engineer for about that long now, and you do a great job, and we're very happy to have you with us. And it's fun, isn't it? You
yes.
never know what you're going to hear in here, do you?
I do. It's what I look forward to coming into the station on Sundays. So.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. We enjoy doing it. And this coming January, the first Sunday of January, is going to be a big deal for us around here because it'll be our 300th show. So we're going to have a big old party, I think.
Do you have any big plans yet?
Well, not yet, but we're going to have to make some, don't you think?
Okay.
For our 300th show, I think that's pretty cool.
I'll try to come up with something special for
that
you.
That sounds good. That sounds great. Thank you. So Pastor Jim and Nan are here with me in the studio today live, as we always are. We're talking about the book of 2 Timothy and in a series called The Focus of Faith. We have a prayer ministry. Nan, what happens with that? And if somebody has a prayer need, what can they do right now about that?
Well, if they have a prayer need, we'd like to share it. They can email those prayer needs to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We have a prayer team of several people who actually will, one of them will pull that prayer off that prayer line, prayer email, and put it out in an email to the people who are, have said, I want to be part of the prayer ministry as far as praying for those.
Sure.
And it's a wonderful, it's a fantastic outreach.
Right.
You know, we've seen so many prayers, you know, situations moved in people's lives and
huge.
Things turn around and things come good. And then you hear, you know, some praise reports back. You get all excited.
Right.
It's exciting when you can unite with people and be able to be part also after the prayers have been answered.
Right.
You know, because it was like they just believed and they didn't sometimes don't know what to do. Just send in the prayer.
The praise reports are amazing.
And whoever pulls it also gives a prayer that they can actually pray. If,
right.
In case they don't have time to sit down and do whatever, they can just read the prayer request, pray the prayer, and, you know, trust God. And, you know, and then a lot of answers have come as a result.
We want people to use
line.
It. Even if they're not a part of Beacon of Hope, that's fine. Use
not.
The prayer line. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Wednesday nights, Pastor Jim, you and I kind of tag team teach a lot. We do, sometimes it's just you, sometimes it's just me, and we never know how the Lord is leading, but it's kind of fun, isn't it, to teach
fun.
The Word on Wednesday night. What do you like about that?
I like living on the edge of expectancy. Because you just don't know what God's going
to
do.
Flying by the seat of your pants? Is that another way to read?
Yeah, but the Holy Ghost got a hold of my pants.
So. There you go.
But it is, it's kind of fun because sometimes, you know, I'll do the whole thing. Sometimes you'll do the whole thing. Sometimes I'll do a little bit and you'll do a lot. Or I'll do a lot and you'll do a little bit.
Right.
It's just interesting the way that works out.
Yeah, it's fun.
And... But also, I just want to remind everybody, you know, Bible study starts at 7, but we also have prayer meeting at 6:15.
Yes.
So what we do there is we use the book Prayers That Avail Much, very scripture-based prayers. We'll do some praying out of that, take prayer requests, praise reports. We do lift them up to God before the Bible study. So we spend 45 minutes thereabouts praying, taking prayer requests, praying some more. You know, it's a really good time. Actually, it's a good way to start focusing in on the Bible study that night.
It is. And speaking of that, our dear brother Nathan, who is part of our radio team and also our keyboard player at church, became very ill this morning during the service. And we actually had to get an ambulance, and he's at the hospital. So we would ask all of you to please pray for him and that he will, they'll be able to figure out what's going on and that he'll be raised up and back on that keyboard where he belongs and back here on this show with us, because he was very, very ill today. So please pray for Brother Nathan. Janet Paschal, this is an old song. We used to do it at my church in Indiana in Cornerstone. I love this song. I am not ashamed.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give.
For every moment his hand has held mercy. For all the love that he's shown all my life. A simple thanks doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, this whole world around me, I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No,
boy, that's an old blast from the past. I haven't heard that song in so many years, but boy, is that true. Paul says it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and that's where that song comes from. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This gospel we teach is all about learning to live by faith. And that's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of this. I want to talk about this. I'm excited to talk about what God is doing in people's lives and how we can get so off track. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe he goes into, and let's go back there for those of you that have your Bible. Paul goes, as he's talking to Timothy, and he's saying, be careful. By the way, if any of you want to enter this discussion with us, Pastor Jim has internet up right now, and you can email us right now during this next few minutes of the show, and pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can have a question, you can have a comment. He's got it right here in front of him, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Nan, don't you believe that focusing is really something that takes work? It's not something that just happens overnight.
It takes work, it takes time, it takes dedication. I mean, just it, no, it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
I think some people want it to happen quicker than what it's happening, and I think sometimes they might get discouraged.
Right, absolutely. Don't you think that's one of the devil's tricks, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Attack of the mind through discouragement.
Okay. And so we get off track. I mean, how many times as a kid, well, we all, you know, you maybe not during a few years there, but Nan and I certainly grew up in church as young kids. And you go to church camp, and you went, you did that too.
I always went to church.
Okay.
Didn't mean a whole lot.
But those times of going to church camp and you come home, you're fired up for God. You know, I'm going to be a witness for Jesus. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then like a week later, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, where'd that go?
Well, there was never any follow up. We would walk the sawdust trail.
Is that what they called it at camp?
Thursday night at the, because I went to a Methodist youth, you know, church camp, and every Thursday night they'd have the revivalists, the evangelists, come in, and we would walk the sawdust. I mean, you know, and it was. I mean, he pretty much preached hell and damnation, and you got your behinds up there, so you didn't, you know.
So the sawdust trail was a trail to where?
to the altar.
Oh, to the altar. Okay, all right.
You know, it was in an old church, sawdust trail up to the altar.
And, wow.
You know, so I got saved like every year there for about four or
yeah.
5 years.
Right.
But there never was any follow-up.
Okay.
And that's what's important here. You're talking about focusing
yes.
our faith. There has to be follow-up. You're just
yes.
going to drift around.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, between the last time I went to church camp, which was when I was in junior high, and then when I got truly born again and understood what I was doing, there was like 5-6 years, and
right.
you know, I drifted. Talk about, you know, I was sinking deep in sin,
right?
Far from the peaceful shore.
That sounds like a song.
It sure yeah. does. And mm-hmm. I was out there, mm-hmm. just I was doing my best to sink,
right?
Because there wasn't any follow up, and I went to church. The odd thing is, I went to church that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it didn't have that big of an impact on me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I consider myself to be good and whatever, but saved? Oh, no.
Right.
You know.
Well, what he was saying about getting saved,
right.
it reminded me of my parents gave me a really nice Bible when maybe I was 10 or something. I'll just show you the inside cover of that Bible. Got saved. Dated it.
Yeah.
Dated it. Really got saved, you know, and got the Holy Spirit and got saved again. And, you know, it's just, I was uh-huh. just, you know, because of the way we were taught, you
right.
know, it's like if you mess up, then that's it.
Right.
You know, and so I would come back and repent. And,
right.
And repentance is necessary. But in my mind, I was getting saved again and again and mm-hmm. again and again. And I got this long list mm-hmm. of when I kept getting saved. I was saved the first time.
Right.
Yeah, I was saved the first time. You know?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, but the devil's busy working it with
right.
condemnation and really just put downs and, causing fear. And
right.
causing anxiety that God doesn't, God's mad at you, God's this and God's that. Some of you out there may be feeling that right now, and you need to relax and realize that God loves you, and it's all about a grace. You know, the song we sing, Amazing Grace, you know, mm-hmm. all the time, and it moves people to tears all the time. We just sang it at my mother's funeral. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But when we really think about that, amazing favor is really what it is. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We've got this connotation with that word, amazing grace, but I think a lot of people sing that, get emotional about it, but don't realize that it really is amazing favor. We've got the favor of God, and He loves us so much, and He wants us to walk in it.
And that's revelation knowledge. That's deeper
yes.
than hearing the song and crying. That's emotional. That's
right.
That's on an emotional level. God wants to go so much deeper. God's
yes.
work begins
yes.
far deeper than your emotions, than your mind, your will, and your emotions. It
right.
starts in your
mm-hmm.
spirit.
Yes.
Works its way out to your soul. And yeah, there are going to be times when God works in you and you're going to get all emotional.
Right.
I know. But just because you get emotional doesn't necessarily mean there's a work being done.
And it doesn't mean we even understand that concept. I think most of the world gets emotional about the song Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think a lot of times it is, the connotation is a funeral or is something like that, you know, but do they realize that they're singing about how much God loves them, you know, His favor, and that's life changing. When we get that down on the inside of us, Pastor Jim, we can stay focused.
Well, yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
And one thing I've always said, it's like the day after
right.
I got saved.
Right.
The first time I went to church, I got saved on a Tuesday, so it was a few days after that. But especially when I went back to my old Methodist church and was singing those old hymns,
right?
Oh my heavens, they came to life!
Right?
They weren't on like the soul thing. I read the words and understood. I got revelation out of those hymns.
Woo!
Because they were so
Amen.
Wonderful. And you know, I think that happens sometimes with us. We can read the word forever and ever and not get a single bit of rhema, not get any nourishment out
and
of it.
And rhema is when God just hits you between the eyes with a revelation of some sort.
And that's why, you know, one of our goals as a Christian has to be to continually get this revelation from God,
mm-hmm.
from His word.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes us grow, and that's a deep work. That's not a surface, superficial work. You know, God can work and does work in all three areas. He heals our physical body. He restores our soul, and that's a process.
Amen.
Our soul, our spirit gets saved immediately. And the work then, because that's where God dwells, begins there and works its way out.
Yes, absolutely. So this whole thing of a focus of our faith, it's so important, Anne, because our faith must grow. In order to be really used of God, we cannot stay with that little wimpy faith that we were talking about earlier. You know, Jesus talks about the 30, 60, 100-fold realms, and he encourages us to grow our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, we got to be in the Word. Go ahead, comment on that.
Well, what I thought of a while ago was, you know, I spent several years not in church before I came to Beacon. And I tried to figure out the other day how long that was. And I think I about got to figure out about 7 years. I'm like, wow, 7 years I was out of church. And if you'd have sat there and told me 2.5 years ago, I've been here about 2 years now. If you'd have told me 2.5 years ago, you're going to be in church, you're going to be involved, you're going to be this, you're going to be on a radio show, I'd have laughed at you because of what I had been through.
Right.
But isn't talking about the faith growing.
Right, exactly.
The faith growing as sitting under the teaching, the faith growing, you know, I am doing those things.
Right.
And it's been like, it's baby steps.
Right.
You know, sometimes where we maybe used to be, what we used to do at church and everything, you know, I went away for church for several years. It's all baby steps coming back in. You know, if you don't just come in and pick up where you left off. In most cases, some cases you do, but in my case, no. And, you know, I mean, just by sitting under your teaching, Pastor Jim's teaching, I mean, who'd ever dream that I would be leading prayer meetings at my office?
Right, exactly.
Praying with people in my office.
Exactly.
Having my principal walk in and see me praying with people in my office. You know, but that has come as my faith has grown.
Right.
By sitting under the Word that you guys teach and doing the personal study that you do, you know, that I do at home and other places, you know, of my own devotional
She's
time.
Such a Jesus freak.
Isn't she? Really? Can't even imagine
Following
her with
you.
7 years that she wasn't in it. You know, and when you begin to walk in the faith life, the righteous will live by faith. You know, we just read that. The righteous, the right standing, those with right standing with God, they begin to learn to live by faith. It is not easy to live by faith. Ask me. It's not. It's not when we are saying, God, I need this, or I need you to do this, and you know, something we've been doing since last Wednesday, you and I, Connie, and now Nan, and I think there's others on board, is we've been taking communion every single day, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk to, maybe some of our listeners would like to jump on board with us on that, and you want to explain that?
Well, yeah, it's, communion does not necessarily have to be taken in the church.
No, it doesn't.
Communion itself can be a meal, a fellowship between you and the Lord, and for us, I know we're doing it to strengthen not only our bonds to each other, but our bonds to God, our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a time for me. I mean, you know, I'll maybe play a communion type song. There's one that's my favorite from second chapter of Acts that I love that one. I love that one, Bread of Life.
Bread of Life.
I'll maybe play that and do some praying and just ask to be knit together more with God and knit together with fellow believers.
Yes.
And, you know, the bread is symbolic of the body of Christ. And I, you know, me, freak that I am, I prefer using, you know, matzah, unleavened bread, because that's, you know, it's striped, it's pierced, it's, you know, just like what Jesus went through.
Yes, it reminds us.
And then the juice is the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we strengthen ourselves. You know, Jesus said, the flesh that I give, you know, is the Word. The Word is my flesh.
Right.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus said he gave his flesh for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the body, his Word, and it's like we're incorporating the Word into ourselves. And then by taking the cup, we're incorporating all the benefits of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, it strengthens.
Yes.
It does. It strengthens. Plus it's a discipline.
Yes. It's a discipline. It's been a blessing to me.
Oh, it has been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been doing this for 4 or 5 days now. Mm-hmm. And there's been miracles, really, literally, that have happened in the last 4 days, including a washer and dryer that I needed desperately that came to my door on Saturday morning. Totally.
Just walked up to your door.
It walked to my door in the trailer of my brother-in-law, and it was given to me as a gift without any cost to me whatsoever. And it was a miracle because I've been without a washer and dryer for several weeks, and it's not easy to live like that and run to my sister's house all the time.
We noticed.
Right. I mean, it's a pain to run to somebody else's house to do laundry, you know? And some of you are going, well, I have to do that. But you know what? It's Thursday. I went to look at some used appliances in Dunedin, and I walked out of the store because I couldn't afford it. I mean, it was ridiculous. I didn't have any money, but I just went in to see what they would cost. And I got in the car, and out loud, as I turned my engine on, I said, okay, God, you don't know, I don't have any money. I cannot do this. I cannot buy a washer and dryer. So here's what I need to do. I need to ask you to give me one that works, that will be serviceable for a period of time, and that I don't have to pay a dime for.
Right.
And that was Thursday at 11 o'clock, Nan. And on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, the washer and dryer pulled up in my driveway.
You told him what you needed. He provided.
It was a specific request. Okay, faith. And that was just, that grew my faith a little bit more, you know? And when I got that phone call, the washer and dryer is coming up in your driveway, oh my gosh, I had just finished communion. That's how I was tying those in. And I was just saying, God, I know that your body was broken for me, and that no matter what I need, my physical body or whatever I need, you've already provided that because you died on the cross and you're the risen Lord, you know. And back to these two guys in 2 Timothy 2 who tried to discourage people that they had missed the resurrection. Their hope was gone, you know. We've got to have that hope. Let's listen to this song, The Stand, by Kristen Stanfill, and then we'll talk more in a minute.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before sin, weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. And what could I say? And what could I do? Completely.
Praise God. It's a choice, guys. We have to stand. I stand with arms raised and surrender to God and realize that I want Him to do a work in me, and I don't want to be that vessel for that's not honorable. I want to be the honorable vessel. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in about verse 20. And Paul talks about the kitchen that's well furnished. Pastor Jim, talk about that, will you? What is Paul trying to say here? 2 Timothy 2:20.
Well, and the Bible that I brought over today, it's in a large house, but it says, notice, a wealthy household. So we're talking a wealthy house. There's, you know, Paul says there's all sorts of different vessels. Some are silver goblets, you know, crystal goblets and silver platters, or gold. You know, most translations say, you know, vessels made of gold and silver. And there's also vessels that are more common, made of wood and clay.
Right.
And Paul says it's your choice. You can set yourself apart. I believe he uses the actual word sanctify.
Right.
Yourself. Set yourself apart for use as a silver or gold vessel, a vessel of honor.
Right.
Rather than a vessel of dishonor, because it's those wood and those clay things that were used to haul out the garbage and all the other stuff.
And wood and clay always talks about our humanity and our flesh, you know, and our the base nature that we each have.
Right. And of course, you know, silver speaks of redemption, gold speaks of the divine nature of God. So, you know, Paul says, set yourself apart to be a vessel of honor. You know, he says, all who make themselves clean from evil, you know, these things, the false teaching, etc., will be used for special, honorable, noble purposes.
Right.
They will be made holy, useful to the master, ready to do any good work.
Amen.
And that's what, you know, that's what Paul kind of almost culminates this chapter with, is set yourself apart. Strive. Put your focus on being a vessel of honor.
Yes.
Because then you're going to have that calling. You'll be ready to do whatever God calls you to do.
Amen.
Ready to do any good work.
Amen. And when we're doing that and we're setting ourselves apart, it requires some attitude adjustments.
Yes.
Okay, because we cannot walk through life burdened down by resentments, unforgiveness, you know, anger, hostility. We got to deal with those things, Nan. Not you necessarily, however, we all do, right? It sound like I was preaching right at you, Nan.
That's okay. You were.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Those things laid us down.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the unforgiveness that I had for, at the time, my husband and then ex-husband. And during several years there, you know, I didn't quite really realize it. You know, my holding unforgiveness against him didn't affect him at all. You know, it didn't affect him. It was eating me up.
He wasn't upset by your unforgiveness.
He wasn't upset by my unforgiveness. It was eating
me up. But it does affect him, though, more, don't you think, that it affects people more than we realize? You know, but go ahead.
I mean, he didn't know. Well,
yeah, he didn't know about
it. He didn't know about it, you know, and so it wasn't something that was advertised or anything. But because I always made it appear like I was cool and in control. But even if it wasn't, I was cool.
So you had an exterior appearance of being nice and sweet, kind and lovely.
Well, not necessarily kind and lovely, but just kind of in control of myself, in control of my own emotions.
But on the inside, there was unresolved anger, unforgiveness, and bitterness.
Yes.
That, Pastor Jim, reminds me of the wooden clay vessels, our humanity. And what did they put in the wooden clay vessels?
Garbage. And night soil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not good. In other words, junk. I mean, it was really bad.
The waste.
You know, and that's what was going in all that. And they didn't put that waste in the crystal goblets and the silver platters and the gold bowls. You know, that those were saved for French fries and hamburgers.
Yes.
All that good stuff. Nice salads and, you know, whatever. No, it was for the good things. The good food.
The good food.
Not the garbage. So often, Nan, I think that we find that we are vessels full of garbage so often in our lives. It can mount up very quickly. We can get so bogged down with the pain of a situation, and the unforgiveness begins, and the bitterness, and the anger, and the resentment, and pretty soon we're that garbage pail.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you know, you'd mentioned earlier that, you know, if we hold unforgiveness or resentment or whatever, anger, yeah, the other person may not know we're holding it against them, but God does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why it's so important. God says forgive.
Right.
Doesn't give us a choice. Mm-hmm. Some people think we have a choice. No.
Right.
We don't.
No.
And, you know, God says forgive. And basically that releases, A, us, so we can move on. But that also releases the other person so that God can deal with them. Absolutely. If we're still holding resentment, we're telling God, no, I'm not done with this person yet.
Right.
You know, we have to let go and enable, you know, in order for God to work.
Right. Exactly. But the devil wants us in that place of unforgiveness and resentment.
Absolutely.
He wants us full of garbage. Okay? He wants us to stew around in our garbage instead of releasing that and asking forgiveness and making amends and the things that we need to do in order to be that crystal goblet.
Oh, you know, and sometimes those things are buried and we don't even realize
it. Oh, yeah.
And I did tell Ray about this, so he knows. But former partner, it was his partner's 50th, would have been his 50th birthday yesterday. Or Friday, and I saw the little thing on Facebook, and I had such a pang because I thought, you know, Satan tried to, you know, go, say, see, he was still in love with Craig all the time you were there. And I thought, well, you know what? Praise God. Clicked like and said, you know what?
Yeah.
Praise God for that because,
right,
you know, I'm not going to hold a grudge.
Right.
It's been nearly 20 years.
Right.
You know, but it's funny, even after, and I'd already done this.
Right.
But Satan is so silly sometimes.
He
just keeps bringing up the same old stuff.
Same old stuff.
You know, remember when this happened?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you just feel awful about that? Well, no, I've already dealt with that.
Right.
And that's over and done with.
Right. But the devil does try to bring up that same old stuff, mm-hmm, and to keep us, our focus off of our faith.
Well, I think sometimes he'll try to bring up new things as it relates to old people in our life.
Oh, that was profound, wasn't it, Pastor Jim?
I have an example.
Okay, let's hear your example.
My example is actually my ex-husband.
Okay.
It was like Satan started, you know, because he lives in a very expensive home.
Okay.
He has his own business.
Okay.
Things are looking great. Things are looking up. And yeah, Satan's like, and look at that. And look where you are. And look at that. And look where you are. I'm saying, you know, where I am is where God wants me to be.
Mm-hmm.
He is with me. I don't have the big gigantic home. I don't have the big income, the whatever. And it's okay that he has those things. You know,
right.
That's fine, Satan. I'm going to resist that. I'm not going to be jealous.
Right.
Which I started getting a little jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Right.
But I said, you know, why waste my time? Why waste myself? Why waste my...
It's garbage.
Everything. It's just garbage. Just leave it alone.
Right.
Just let it go. And I did, and I'm fine.
And so often, that's a good example, so often we get led down that that path to the garbage dump, you know, with all the junk, and we feel justified being there. Going to the garbage dump, we feel justified. Go ahead.
And you know what? This just popped into my head.
Go right ahead.
In the Bible, did you know the word hell is not in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
The word normally translated hell is Gehenna.
Right.
Gehenna. Which, guess what? Was the garbage dump
garbage
of Jerusalem.
Dump. Yes, it was.
Because the fire never went out there because people kept dumping their garbage there.
Right.
And, you know,
that's a good point. That's a good revelation right there.
We think we're just holding on to the garbage and going to the garbage dump.
Uh-huh.
Well, think about it. The garbage dump in Jerusalem was hell.
Right.
I mean, it was...
Who wanted to live by... Oh, I was driving in traffic a couple days ago, and I got behind a garbage truck.
Oh, my heavens.
Okay? And it was a busy, busy rush hour time, okay? And I could not... I got around him. He came right by, you know, and for like 3 miles, I was with either beside or behind this nasty-smelling garbage truck. Forgot all about it till just now. And real, I was doing everything I could to get around, maneuver in traffic, get ahead, and then a light would change, and there he was again.
I'd be wanting to get rid of that memory, too.
Oh, man, it was awful. It was so smelly. It was just ridiculous. But it just reminds me right now that this junk that gets down on the inside of us that we hang on to is smelly.
Oh, yeah.
It is awful to hang out with anger and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and not deal with this garbage.
Because it stinks.
It stinks.
Yeah. We're supposed to be the fragrance of Christ, not the odor of death.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And so we're talking here about the focus of our faith, and we cannot focus on our faith and building our faith when we are bogged down by all this garbage that a lot of us are still carrying around. Perhaps you were abused as a child. We hear this all the time in counseling. Perhaps you were abused as a child. You were molested. You were maybe just treated poorly by a parent or a step-parent or somebody, or something awful happened to you. We see it so much. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. It's our vision, Isaiah 61, 1-5. It was actually the passage that Jesus preached his first sermon from, Luke 4, mm-hmm. when he stands up and asks for the scroll, and the scroll he got was that he asked for was Isaiah 61, where it says that he came to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus stood there on that day on his first sermon, and he said, today, this is fulfilled now. And what he was talking about was he was the healer mm-hmm. of the broken hearts. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, it's important that we trust Jesus
right.
to heal our hearts.
Yes.
All of us have experienced hurt to some degree or another, some far more than others. Some,
right.
you know, some physical, some emotional, some spiritual. Some have been in, you know, some real spiritual bondage. But Jesus came to mend all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that we let him do that. Because,
Amen.
Again, we don't want to be carrying around all the garbage.
Right.
And Jesus is the one who can take it away.
Amen.
And wants to take it away. He wants you to know his love, his
yes.
perfect love.
Yes.
The love of a perfect parent. You know, and I think so many times we tend to identify our conception of God's love with what we grew up with.
Yeah,
our conception of our parents' love, the
right.
love we knew as children.
Or lack of.
Or lack of. And we cannot do that.
Right.
I know in my home, I've always felt love was conditional. And it took me a long time to get that picture of God that it's unconditional.
Absolutely.
I mean, I knew Jesus loved me, but I always thought he loved me more when I was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But that goes back to the amazing grace or amazing favor, because when we realize we have amazing favor mm-hmm. with God, then we begin to stand up more to the attacks of the devil, where he goes, oh, remember so-and-so? Yeah, she hurt you. Remember what she did? Blah, 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 blah. Satan's, is like a nagging spouse.
Like the dripping of water.
The dripping of water, it says in Proverbs, right? That's what Satan does. You want to comment on that? You married the same man twice, didn't you?
Yes, I did. In fact, yesterday was our second marriage anniversary.
Oh, very good.
I don't remember what year, but I remember that. You know.
But sometimes we do go back to situations, and that doesn't have anything to do with your marriage. But we,
it's
just kind of a, you know, funny. But
it is a funny.
We do go back to situations and think, you know, and try to make it better without doing the healing that's needed in,
right.
in the between, you know, to get it to the place where it really will be better, you know.
Yes, we didn't take the time for healing. And
you know, and I would encourage our audience, think on this, because God is talking here about learning to focus our attention on growing up in God and becoming that crystal goblet. We can't do it in our own strength. That's the oxymoron part of all this. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And if you think your crystal goblet, for example, has been shattered,
right?
Your gold bowl is deformed.
Right.
You know, you dropped it and it got bent. You know, got kind of warped. God can put it back together again.
Yes.
That's what He does best.
Yes.
You know, we talked about communion earlier and about the stripes on Jesus' back, because His body was torn apart.
Amen.
He is the Lord, our wholeness.
Yes.
Because He was torn apart, we can be made whole.
Ooh.
And that's the amazing thing. He it doesn't matter if we're shattered into a thousand little pieces.
Right.
God wonderfully will put us back together.
And because he allowed his body to be broken for us, then we can take that same body as healing for us.
Amen.
And because it became the resurrection body, and he is not any longer living on this earth in that deformed body, but he's got the new body. But, oh, man, this is good. In our own strength, Nan, a lot of us don't know how to get to that healing.
In our own strength, we can't get that healing.
Yeah.
It's where we need to have faith and spend time in the Word, and that can help. The Holy Spirit does the healing in our lives. I think some people don't want to be healed. Because if they're healed from whatever, they can't keep complaining about it. You know, certain people do just like to, woe is me, look at me, look what happened to me. And then they have this story that they can go and tell. They meet someone new at church, they tell the new person their story. You know, some people want to hang on to that just because maybe they're afraid of letting go of that. That's at least something that they know.
Right.
Which isn't real clear sense there.
That's a good point.
You know, I'd rather be able to, you know, I don't know.
No, that's
you know
a good
what
point.
I'm saying.
Not to make the two of you jealous, but last Monday I had this fantastic massage. Okay. My sister gave it to me for my birthday. Okay. She said, you're going to this place and da da da, and this is the best masseuse she'd ever been to, you know. And she said, you've been under a lot of stress and tension, whatever, and you need to just go. And, you know, it's hard for me to do that. I've only had a few massages in my life. I think it's just strange, you know. But anyway.
Oh, I love a good massage.
Isn't it great? And this lady was so good. And she was just working. She said, you want this firm? You want it easy? I said, I don't know. Give it to me. You know, and she's, you know, just pushing on those muscles. And she said, what it does is releases the poison, you know, and the tension and all of that that's stored up there. And she said, you're going to have to drink a lot of water for a few days because that stuff is rolling around in your system, and you really need to get that cleansed out. And isn't that a great metaphor? Because I so enjoyed that, and yet I did have to start fighting cold symptoms immediately because so much of that had been released. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's the same way. This is going to sound really bizarre, but when God massages us, what happens?
Right.
All that junk
that's
comes
it.
Up.
Yes, that's what
I'm
trying to
say. And we have to get rid of it. I mean, it's like...
garbage out.
Yeah. Scripture talks about the smelting of iron,
right.
You know, and it talks, you know, using that. And think about it, all the impurities rise to the
yes.
surface. The
yes.
pure metal, like the gold, sinks down, but the right. impurities come to the surface, and you just keep skimming them off.
Right.
And it's, you know, think of what that involves, a lot of heat.
A lot of heat.
You know, it's not, sometimes it's not a pleasant process.
Right.
But out of it comes that golden,
ooh,
comes that gold vessel.
That gold vessel. My mother's favorite verse that we talked about last week, too, was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this song I want to play again, I'm singing it constantly. I can't get it out of my heart. It is right there because it's not in our strength that we do this cleanup.
Amen.
It's not. The cleanup must come by Jesus, the healer of our broken hearts. The cleanup in our lives, getting the garbage out and becoming that crystal goblet or that silver vessel or that gold vessel is supernatural. You know, I didn't massage my own back. The masseuse did, right? And so the Holy Spirit needs to be doing that deep work in us. Listen as C.C. Winans sings this song again. His strength is perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do for me. Now
just love this song.
His strength is perfect.
His strength is
perfect. When our strength
praise God.
Is gone, He'll carry us when we
we're going to do it again in a few minutes, Cedric. I'll tell you when, okay? And you can just start it out low and I'll talk over it. But his strength is perfect. We can't do this cleanup process, Pastor Jim. No. I'm not spiritual enough to know exactly what needs to be cleaned out of me, but the Holy Spirit does know.
The Holy Spirit knows. And, you know, I think God reveals it to us. I mean, as we read the Word, He'll
search me, O God, and know my heart.
Well, and, you know, you're reading the Word and all of a sudden, that reminds me of something maybe I need to deal with or a certain situation I need to turn over to God. So it's important to kind of have that, your spiritual ear kind of cocked, listening for God, just so when He does speak, you can hear it and allow Him to take away the dross.
Yes.
You know, the waste stuff. But it's amazing because we so, as humans, I think, so often want to do it on our own, whether because we don't want to accept anybody else's help, you know, maybe it's pride, or we don't think anybody else can help.
Right.
And, you know, and yet Paul said, you know, Cece was just quoting Scripture. He's just saying Scripture here. Paul said that God told him, my strength is perfect in your weakness.
Yes.
Wherever we're weak,
amen.
That's where He's going to make us strong.
Amen.
That's where He's going to show His strength.
Yes. Amen. Woo! How do you feel about all this, Nan?
I like it, Pastor. No, it, go ahead.
Go on.
No, it's just, you know, we can look back in our lives, and I can look back in my life and see where it was His strength was the only way I made it through.
Mm-hmm.
Made it through some things that people around me were like, we don't know how you're doing it. We don't know how you're hanging in day by day. And it's like, it's because of the time I was spending with my Father in the mornings. Praying, spending time in the Word, and praising Him throughout the day. That's how you make it.
Exactly.
And He will carry you. His strength is perfect when ours is gone.
When ours is gone. He carries us when we can't carry on.
That's right.
You know? So, dear listeners, right now, we want to remind you of how great God's love is for you. How much He cares about you. Remind you that you have a part in this growing your faith life. You have a responsibility to really make it a priority in your life to seek out the truth of God's Word, to learn the Word, to study, to show yourself approved, and to get in a good church and hear the Word, and just do what you can to focus on the growing of your faith and not let it be something that is just not that important to you, you know? So drastically important. Nan, I mean, what do you... Give us some final thoughts here. How do you feel about everything? I mean, I cannot believe we've got 2 hours is up. I mean, almost.
It's amazing the time just flies.
It flies for us. I don't know if it does for our audience, but it does for us because we're having a good time. They're going, hurry up, get over. No. We're just having fun.
We're having fun. Well, I wrote down for my final thoughts was just to focus, to get into the Word, and to get into a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
And if people are in the Tampa Bay area, they're more than welcome to come visit us at Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
They may find home there. Mm-hmm. But whether it's there or anywhere else, or if it's people in other states or people out of the countries, find a church.
Amen.
Find a church. From there, you can learn the Word, which will help you focus.
To piggyback on that, our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, is a wealth of information. We've got so many of these shows right there. You can take a whole Bible course just in our shows right there on our website. It's a great opportunity for you to learn the Word and study the Word right there. Go ahead.
I was thinking of the lies of
oh yes, that's in June of 2011. Don't buy the lie.
Don't buy the lie.
That was a really good show.
It was talking about focusing and remaining focused, and how Satan will come against you with lies. That's why he comes against your mind with lies.
Right.
So if they want to listen to one, maybe pick that one first.
Just June 2011. Not sure which date in June, but you can find it on our website.
It's titled.
Okay, Pastor Jim, talk to us.
I just want to be an honorable vessel, ready for any good work, ready for whatever God calls me to do.
Amen.
Which means, you know, I mean, that's pretty high calling, but that's what he's called all of us to, not just me, but everybody. He's called us really to be those honorable vessels, ready to do any good work, because there may be opportunities God's going to put in front of you that you need to be a little golden for and not a little clay.
Right.
You know, God's going to call you maybe to do something, to minister to somebody else, and it's going to require a commitment on your part.
Amen.
A readiness on your part. And that's what I want to be. And that, I know that's what God's called all of us to be, is ready for whenever he calls us, you know, calls us up from reserve duty into active duty.
Amen. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Going back to that soldier thing.
That soldier thing. That's great. Let's pray with our audience right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear ones that are listening to the show, whether live or later on in the future on our website. Lord, we just thank you that you are the God that cares about everything that concerns us. You want us cleaned up. You want us to be those silver platters and gold vessels. You want us to walk around with so much Jesus in us that people see that there is something different, that they know that there is something going on in the inside of us. Lord, we pray for our listening audience today. If they be there, those that are ill, we ask that you touch their body right now. And we do that by faith in the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb. We ask that you touch their bodies, raise them up, heal blind eyes, touch limbs that are not working correctly. Those that are suffering with arthritis today, Lord, just ease their pain and heal their bodies. Those that are sick in any area of their physical body or in their emotions, Lord, we just call on Jesus the healer for those that are listening right now. And Lord, we know that it's not by our strength, it's all by you. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can reach out in faith and accept the healing that you are offering to us right now. So Lord, we pray those blessings on our audience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh my, tune in again next week at 4 o'clock. Let's go back to the song again, Cedric. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. Some of you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, as Nan said, and you don't have a church to go to, please come and visit us 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, Wednesday night at 7, 6:15 prayer meeting at Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Easy to find, right off of 275. We welcome you. Tell a friend. And some of you that have been listening or watching our videos on Facebook, we've got some issues going on right now this week. We will get it fixed in YouTube and we'll get it back up there because some of you have called in wanting to know what's going on. Don't worry, we'll get it fixed. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. God bless you. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and our dear sweet Nan Watson ministering the truth of God's word to you today. God bless you. Hold it up. Let's go.
Strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, though we become strong, his strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.